Dave Sargent has been farming all of his life, though not on the same scale that he is now. After selling a small dairy farm in 1991, he began dabbling in produce, with an acre of this and an acre of that. 8 years ago, he started selling it to local stores like Harps and Marvin's in Fayetteville and Springdale, but soon realized that he still had a lot left over.
I'd be giving it to everybody and his dog, and I thought, well, I need to sell that. So I went to that one Walmart store up there and asked them if they'd be interested in, or talked to the manager, asking if he'd be interested in buying some fresh produce from me. He said, oh, we'd love to have some fresh produce. You'll have to get approved as a vendor. Well, I went through all of that and then started selling produce to them. And the next year, I had two other stores that called me. Said, hey, could you sell us some of that fresh produce? Sure. And then the next year, Walmart called me and asked me if I would supply all the stores in the district. And there was like 14 of them. And I said, well, sure. So I started supplying all of those.
For 20 weeks this summer, from the end of June through October, the squash, zucchini, and okra that is purchased from Walmarts in our area, as well as throughout the state and into Missouri and Oklahoma, will come from Dave's farm in Prairie Grove. This is part of Walmart's Heritage Agriculture Program. Ron McCormick, Walmart's Senior Director for Sustainable Agriculture, says that the program is more than just buying local.
Heritage agriculture is a term that we coined here to kind of refer to working with local farmers to improve their production, improve the sustainability of their production, and encourage them to grow crops that today's customer is looking for, and which helps them too because it improves their income. And part of why we came up with the term heritage is because starting in the 30s, a little bit before, lots of American agriculture of things that you would buy in a produce department moved away from lots of states.
Northwest Arkansas used to be a thriving apple-producing part of the country. It was a large part of the local economy and employed a lot of people. Today, there are very few orchards to be found. Similar stories exist all over the country. There are vast areas of land that once grew produce but no longer do. Ron says that Walmart saw this as an opportunity for all parties involved.
And for us, with so many stores in every state of the Union and 42 food distribution centers that are kind of spread all over the country, it's a great opportunity for us to go back and find those local farmers or encourage people to be local farmers and have them grow products close to those warehouses so that our customers get fresher, better produce, and that we also help the communities that support our stores and our distribution centers.
Dave can attest to the program's success.
Right now, 7 years ago, there was about 7 acres of produce grown commercially here in Northwest Arkansas. Today, right now, I know of 750 acres right here that's being grown.
Ron, with Walmart, has seen similar results in other areas.
I think directionally we've seen that around all of our distribution centers where we've had some of these programs. And we've seen parts of the area, too, and it's certainly not all Walmart's doing, but I think our activity in it has been a little bit of incentive. But if you look at the soft fruit production, like peaches, along the East Coast, used to be a big crop at one point in time. Over the course of years, you saw acreage decline and decline. So when the USDA released their acreage numbers for peach growers, you saw for many years that number decline. As we started doing a lot of local purchasing and working on kind of reaching out to the farmers and helping them do business through our Walmart distribution centers, and then other retailers also tried to meet the local demand by doing the same thing, we saw that acreage kind of stabilize, that people stopped taking acres out of peach production, and we saw some farmers begin to kind of invest in their orchards again, and now you're seeing growers in the East Coast not just supplying to Walmart, but supplying to our competitors, other retailers in that area now. Now you're seeing farmers going back and putting in new trees, improving their packing sheds, improving their practices and the quality of their product. So I think that kind of acreage change that you can see through people supporting local produce, you could see in lots of other areas.
Michelle Harvey with the Environmental Defense Fund says the reason the EDF has an office in Bentonville is because Walmart creates its own weather. She agrees that Walmart's participation in such programs encourages other retailers to follow suit, benefiting everyone.
You know, I mean, it's big enough to, you know, to do things like that that nobody else can. And then once it's there, the farm initiative with local food, you know, if you can reinvigorate local food economy, then, you know, Walmart's going to benefit. But, you know, I mean, the customers are the beneficiary because they're going to get better, fresher food. Mm-hmm. You know, the community's going to benefit because the people growing the food, you know, have a market to sell it in and one that's pretty stable and supportive. But then, you know, once that gets going, then Safeway's going to be able to go after it. And so, you know, ideally it's going to be a very positive upward spinning spiral.
Dave Sargent saw demand for his products growing. He partnered with neighbor Mitch Bartholomew to form B&S Farms. Together, they farm over 400 acres. They also sell to businesses other than Walmart, like Associated Wholesale Grocers, a distributor that sells to IGA, among other retailers. They also supply processors such as Allen Canning, as well as the makers of baby food and animal feed. Dave sells everything and is able to limit his losses to 1%.
Common sense. If you know you're going to have a lot of extra of this, where can you go with it? What can you do with it? And so that's when we hooked up with people in the processing business, that they could take some of the stuff that is not your real fancy, eye-appealing, and they can still use it. And it's fine for what they do, because they cut it up and process it. That helped us a lot because that ensures us that we're not going to have losses. And losses will kill you in this business. What it does is let us, when we have no losses, it lets us sell everything a little cheaper, where it, we didn't have other processors to handle some of our product, and we are throwing away 30% of it, we got to raise our price 40 or 50% to make the same amount of money. And this way, we can sell it cheaper. The stores can sell it cheaper.
Selling to processors ensures that all product, no matter the quality, is sold. Michelle, with the EDF, agrees that selling everything is definitely good for the farmer. She explains that it is also good for Walmart and the customer.
You know, because a big piece of it is just practical purchasing. Mm-hmm. You know, if a buyer was going to go in and get potatoes, you know, they may go in and just get what they need because they're only buying shelf-ready, you know, fresh potatoes. Mm-hmm. But then somebody else is coming in and they're needing potatoes that are going to get sliced up into frozen French fries, mm-hmm. or made into potato flakes or these types of things. And rather than one person going out, again, you know, can you buy an entire field? I mean, these are some of the strategies that have been talked about in terms of, you know, it's more efficient for the stores, it's more efficient for the farmers, and it's also a really good waste reduction strategy. Because if the farmer's not trying to figure out what to do with that last 10%, mm-hmm. so one of the strategies that Walmart's been looking at is, you know, can you make more efficient purchasing by taking everything in the field? And then, you know, what's good for this goes here, and what's good for that goes there. And I think those are the kinds of things that then create, you know, a better price for the customer, but stability and good pricing for the farmers. And I think the fact that they're committed to improving the profits for the farmers, you know, was a very important part of their sustainable ag initiative. Because, you know, otherwise, I think, you know, it was fairly terrifying to a lot of farmers to think about, you know, Walmart's going to come in and they're going to squeeze everything. You know, well, what Walmart's looking to squeeze is the inefficiencies out of the system.
Dave loves Walmart, and he loves working as a vendor with Walmart. He has even used the retailer as a model for his own farm.
When we set up our structure for our farm, we set it up and used Walmart as our model to go by. Customer's number one. And I feel that way about all the people that buy product from me. They're number one. And I'll go out of my way to make sure that everything they get is quality. They treat me like I'm the only vendor they have.
Dave uses a management style he picked up as a captain in the Army years and years ago. He requires all of his employees to wear gloves while picking his produce. If he catches someone without them, they will be fired on the spot. The squash and zucchini is washed with an all-organic cleaner before being boxed up and refrigerated. B&S Farms ships to distribution centers, but also does direct store delivery to stores 3 days a week, ensuring freshness and eliminating spoilage.
Mike Duke wants the fresh produce in the stores. And my commitment to him last year was, you know, I'll do DSD. I'll pick it this afternoon. I'll have it at your store in the morning. And by doing that, there's always going to be fresh produce there in the store, at least the produce that we grow. And it eliminates the waste that Walmart has. And because a lot of the squash, when they get it in, if it comes from California, if it comes from Mexico, Florida, South Texas, the Carolinas, it's already 4 days old by the time they get it in the store. Mine is less than a day old.
Dave supplies not only Northwest Arkansas, but the entire state, as well as three other states. At what point does local produce quit being local? Ron McGormick with Walmart says that when they talk local numbers or dollars, they talk about produce that was grown in one particular state. However, they do encourage mile limitations for shipping food to be considered local.
We really think that local agriculture, kind of from a what should be we working on and being encouraged, is about a 450-mile radius around each food distribution center. So Dave is actually a good example for kind of the detail of that. You know, he grows here, but he also sells to our store in Jane, Missouri. But we wouldn't count those sales in Jane as local sales, even though it's really very local, simply because that grown and sold in the same state is kind of a verifiable number that it's easy for us to be sure we're being honest with people when we share those numbers.
Ron says that, in addition to Dave's zucchini and squash, other crops that are grown in-state and sold at Walmart are jalapeno peppers, sweet potatoes, and various varieties of tomatoes. In addition to running a large farming operation, often working the fields himself, Dave Sargent also served as an expert on sustainable agriculture for Walmart's sustainability conference and has been seen on CNN. He is becoming quite the celebrity. Dave also has a passion for telling stories, a passion that is evident within minutes of meeting him. He and his wife, Pat, a retired teacher, write books, children's books. Together, they have published over 300. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.